Great. I appreciate this opportunity to talk. So I'm going to be talking about some work that we've done at the University of Florida to try to gain a refined understanding of the sweet sorghum nitrogen requirement. So this is what sweet sorghum looks like. A really stocky plant. It grows much taller than grain sorghum. And it can be grown in multiple locations across the United States. So to get started, I'll acknowledge a few things, the Ceres Company and the USDA for financial support. And special thanks to Rezi Manning, David Campbell, Jeff Adinko, and Andy Scheffler for their assistance in collecting this data. So sweet sorghum is a biofuel candidate, of course, and it produces sugars and lignocellulosic biomass. The sugar is contained in the stem. So you can squeeze and juice these stems, like this picture on the right is showing, to get a really sugary juice. So traditionally, the crop in this country has been grown in Kentucky and that vicinity to make syrup, and but it's viewed as a prime crop for ethanol and advanced biofuel production. It's seen as a better alternative to corn because of the more simple carbohydrate content. But we need a better understanding going through them. It was apparent that something was needed to bring them together and to give us a better understanding. So in this table, I have the positive yield response to nitrogen fertilization. So as far as these bars extend, that's where these studies saw positive yield responses to the nitrogen rate. So in this case, with this box, the lowest rate was 45 kilograms per hectare. So in a couple of these cases, there's no bar there at all, which means they saw yield optimization without any nitrogen input, all the way up to about 110 kilograms per hectare. So now, to concisely summarize that literature, I would say, you know, it suggests anywhere from 0 to 110 kilograms per hectare are needed, which is a really massive range. So a few of these studies, three of them plus the current study I'm talking about, we looked at crop nitrogen uptake. And this is a better way to try to understand what the nitrogen requirement of the crop is. This measurement integrates the effects of soil nutrient bioavailability, environmental factors affecting growth, and the physiology of the crop. So when that's related to the yield, then the nitrogen requirement can be estimated, which is what this graphic here is showing. So this is the data from our study and the three other studies. Crop nitrogen uptake on the x-axis, and then the dry matter yield on the y-axis. You can see that there's a nice relationship, nice increasing relationship with nitrogen and yield until about this point where this begins to plateau. So the analysis we used here was a two-segment piecewise linear regression. It helps us to identify breaks in the data. So you can see that there's a minor amount of slope, 0.039 after that breaking point. That is not significantly different from zero. So what this what that data is showing us is about 115 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare is what's required to optimize biomass production in this crop. So to achieve this level of uptake, so just in case anybody doesn't understand this, this is not a recommended nitrogen application rate. It's what the crop should require. So the amount that you would fertilize in a given area is going to depend on site-specific conditions and management. So in one more slide, I'll talk about how we would achieve that in Florida. But I'll look at this just really quick. That level of 115 kilograms per hectare, 115 kilograms per hectare was supported by physiological data as well. We measured the leaf photosynthetic rate, like shown in the top graphic, and leaf chlorophyll estimation by SPAD in the bottom. Really nice relationships that also are showing a plateau in the data at about 115 kilograms per hectare in both cases. Okay, so a nitrogen application rate recommendation for North Central Florida, which is where this data was collected. Yield could be optimized with input of just about 70 kilograms per hectare. That means that at least 45 kilograms were coming from soil sources. I, again, in this analysis, used that piecewise linear regression to get that number of 70. So if as little as 70 were to be applied, then some other management factor would need to replenish the soil sources, something like residue return or legume rotation. If this is going to be used in an intensive type system, likely everything would be removed. So you have to find some way to replenish that soil nitrogen, or likely a higher nitrogen application rate. So this is an interesting part of the data that we saw. The effect of nitrogen fertilization on the sugar production versus grain production. So you can see in this graph, sugar production was far less affected by low nitrogen than grain. Sugar production relative to its peak was reduced by just 22%, whereas grain was reduced by about 94%. But this is really good news in terms of its biofuel potential, since the sugar is really the key thing that we're after, the important thing for its biofuel potential. So in summary, sweet sorghum requires about 115 kilograms per hectare for optimal biomass production. This was developed from a good relationship across five varieties of sweet sorghum and many environmental conditions across the U.S. And grain production is far more sensitive to low nitrogen than sugar production, which is good news for its biofuel potential. So, thank you.
Plenty of time for questions.
Okay, thank you.